Please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 15 to 23 this morning and focusing on verses 19 to 23. That's on page 976 of the Bibles provided. As we keep going through this first half of Ephesians, Paul keeps telling us things that are true. He wants the Ephesians to know what is true about who God is and what He's done for us, so that in the second half of the letter, we can base how we live and what we do on what God has already done. If you remember a few weeks back, I chose chapter 4, verse 1 as our theme verse for this series. Chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." To walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And we're going to read this morning about how God the Father gave Jesus great authority. He made Him king over all things after He ascended into heaven. And so as we read, think about what walking in a manner worthy of that looks like. What does it mean to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus being king? What difference does it make in your life that Jesus is king? And what difference would it make in the world if more people knew and believed that Jesus was king? So Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read verses 15 to 23, but focusing on 19 to 23. This is God's holy word. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." We'll end our reading here at this point. On February 17th, 1688, a 26-year-old man named James Rennick was brought to the Grass Market in Edinburgh in Scotland to be hanged. He'd been condemned to death for saying that the King of England was not the head of the church, that Jesus Christ alone was king and head of the church. And in those final moments when someone was trying to convince him to give up what he'd said, to just recognize the authority of the King of England, James said this, "I am within a little while to appear before Him who is King of kings and Lord of lords, who shall pour shame, contempt, and confusion upon all the kings of the earth who have not ruled for Him." And James Rennick gave his life that day because he understood what we just read from Ephesians chapter 1. He understood that whatever happens in this life, whoever may oppose Christ in this life, Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, and that He is over all authority. Now, for James Rennick, the choice between recognizing Christ as king and denying Him meant life or death. But you and I face this choice in small ways every day. Who is the ultimate authority in the way that you do business? Who is the ultimate authority in the way you vote in elections? Who is the ultimate authority in the moral choices you make every day. In our passage this morning, Paul tells the Ephesians that Christ has been seated as the King over all things, over heaven and earth. There's nothing that's left out of His dominion here. Other things may seem powerful in this life. Other spiritual forces may seem powerful. Governments that oppose Christianity may seem unstoppable. An economic system may seem stacked against those who operate on Christian principles. But friends, your King is more powerful than all these things. He is over all these things. Your King Jesus has been given authority over all of these areas of life and over every kind of authority. So, brothers and sisters, claim Christ as your King in all of life. Claim Christ as King, as your King in all of life. First, claim Christ as your King because Christ is heaven's King. Because Christ is heaven's King. Paul says here that when Jesus was raised from the dead, after he'd spent some time with his disciples, he ascended into heaven and God placed him at his right hand. He gave him a special place of authority. This right hand means that he was given all the authority that could be given to him. There's no one closer to God the Father, no one with any more authority than Jesus Christ. And to drive this home, Paul says that Christ was placed far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So what do these words rule and authority and power, dominion refer to? Part of what he's talking about here are spiritual powers and forces. Angels and demons. We see this because later on in Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 12, Paul will say, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." He's talking about spiritual forces, about angels and demons. And this idea of spiritual forces is what he means when he says talks about every name that is named. Now, when we talk about naming names today, this is not what we're talking about. If we talk about naming names, you're ratting somebody out or you're blaming somebody for something. That's not what he's talking about here. The Bible talks about naming names. It's talking about calling on a spiritual force. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 7, when Joshua is giving his final instructions to the people of Israel before he died, he tells them not to mix with the other nations or to name the names of their gods or to swear by their gods. This idea of naming names was calling on a god or a goddess, calling on a demon or an angel, and calling on them to exert their power and influence in a certain situation. This is still true in many religions around the world, that naming a name, invoking the name of a god or a goddess, brings that god's power to bear. But Paul says that Jesus is far above every name, any name that's named, anywhere on the earth, in this time and in the time to come. Now remember who Paul is talking to here. He's talking to the Christians in Ephesus. And you may know the story of Paul's time in Ephesus and how the people there who worshipped in the great temple to Artemis started a riot against the Christians. And during that riot, they chanted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," for 2 hours straight. Over and over again. "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And you can imagine being a Christian there at that time. This riot started against Christians chanting this name, calling on the power of Artemis against you. That's what Paul is talking about here. Every name that is named. But he says that Jesus is far above all of them. You also remember that some of these Christians in Ephesus had been involved in witchcraft. In Acts, we're told they came and burned their books of witchcraft. So they knew the power of incantations and curses and drawing on spiritual and demonic forces to hurt someone. But Paul says that Jesus is far above all those powers. He He's so much greater than all of them that none of them can touch His power and His authority. That He is above every name that is named, over every spiritual force that there is. And just to give you a picture of what this authority looks like, look at how Jesus interacted with the demons that called themselves Legion. This is a story that's recorded in several of the Gospels, but Jesus came upon a man who was possessed by many demons. And there were so many, they said they called themselves Legion, for we are many. And this man had terrorized the people in the area because they couldn't control him. They tried to chain him up, they tried to restrain him, but he broke the chains because the demons were so powerful. The people there could do nothing to stop him. But then he met Jesus. And those many demons could do nothing but obey Jesus Christ. To do exactly what he told them the moment he told them to do it. That's the power we're talking about here. Jesus has authority over every spiritual force in this world. So when do you need to be reminded that Jesus is the King of heaven? That Jesus is the King of the whole spiritual world? Well, it may be that you're coming into contact with actual witchcraft. Maybe this is something that you've dabbled in yourself, or you have friends or family members who have dabbled in it. One of the great temptations and pulls of witchcraft is this idea of power. That you're somehow going to have power to do more of what you want to do. But don't be tempted by that power. Because it is nothing compared to the power and authority of Jesus Christ. So when you face witchcraft, whether it's in your own life and the lives of those around you, claim Christ as your King, as the one who has true power. But it's more likely that you see a lot more superstition than actual witchcraft. And as much as we joke about Friday the 13th or broken mirrors or black cats, that there are people, and maybe this is your experience, that allow their lives to be significantly influenced by this whole idea of luck and superstition. This idea that there's some sort of spiritual force out there that is somehow influencing and governing our lives. And I knew a person once who absolutely refused to enter a house because she saw that there was an open umbrella in there. She'd been raised to think that she had to avoid bad luck at all costs because it was going to ruin her life. And even if you don't let luck influence your life that much, do you ever just try to cover your bases? Sort of say, well, maybe there's something to this luck thing. I better make sure that I knock on wood or just make sure I've got myself covered. You don't have to let luck control your life like that. God, Christ is over all spiritual forces. Christ is King. When it comes to spiritual forces, maybe you're deeply afraid of Satan and his demons, the attacks that he might bring on your life. And it's true that Satan is we're told that he's like a roaring lion, prowling around looking for someone to devour. And it's true that we need to be on our guard against spiritual attack. But if you are deeply afraid of him, if you're always living in fear of the attacks of demons, you may be giving Satan more respect than he deserves. Because Satan is under authority. Satan can only go as far as Jesus Christ will let him. And if you have been saved through Jesus Christ, you can call on him as your King, as the authority over all spiritual forces. You don't have to be terrified of Satan. Claim Christ as your King, because he is the King of heaven, the King of all spiritual forces. But Christ isn't just King of the spiritual realm. He has real authority on this earth as well. So secondly, claim Christ as your King in all of life, because he is earth's King. Because he is earth's King. And just because these terms, the ruler and the power and dominion, just because they refer in part to spirits, doesn't mean that Paul isn't talking about earthly authority here too. He says every authority, every lordship, every power. And to drive home this earthly authority, he says that everything has been put under his feet. Everything's been put under Christ's feet. And we know this is talking about the earth because it's a quote from Psalm 8. That we sang earlier, from Psalm 8, verse 6. David says that God has given man, has given mankind lordship over all creation. He's put all things under his feet. And so we've been put on this earth to have dominion over the world, to fill the earth and subdue it. We're supposed to rule over creation. And Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that command. He is the greatest man. All things have been placed under his feet. He has authority over every authority in this world and on this earth. It's not like this earth is somehow under someone else's control. Jesus Christ is king. And we see how this works itself out most clearly in a practical way in Psalm 2. I'd ask you to turn. I don't usually ask you to turn to another passage, but if you could turn to Psalm 2 here, if you want, or you can just listen as we go through this. Psalm 2 gives us this clear picture of what it means that Jesus is king over this earth. What that means for authorities in this life. In this psalm, in verse 2, it says that the kings of the earth have set themselves up against the Lord. They've decided they don't want anything to do with God's authority. They're going to rebel against him. But in verse 6, the Lord says, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. He says, I have set my king. I have said who's going to be in authority here. I have set Jesus to reign. And then we're told what the Father said to Christ when he ascended into heaven here. He says, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. When Jesus arrived in heaven, when he finished his work, God told him, I'm giving you the whole world. I'm giving you every nation. You have authority over all things, over every king, over every ruler. And so that's why next in this psalm, the psalmist goes back to talking to the kings of earth and says, listen up. He says, now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Because if Jesus is king, if he is ruler over all rulers, over all presidents, over all prime ministers and kings, then those kings better listen up. The psalmist says here, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Show him honor, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When Jesus finished his work, he was set as king over all the earth. He is God's anointed. He is God's Son. All things have been placed under his feet. So everyone on this earth who has any authority will answer one day to Jesus Christ for how they have used that authority. So Christ's kingship here means that we don't have to live in fear of earthly rulers. You don't have to worry that you're going to end up on the wrong side of history by siding with Jesus Christ. That he is going to win in the end. And we're just waiting for that kingship to be fully revealed. So what does this mean for your daily life? For your interaction with the authorities in your life? Well, in Acts 5:29, when the apostles were told that they may not preach the gospel anymore, they said, we must obey God rather than men. So simply put, if any authority in your life tells you to break God's law, you don't have to do it. If the government tells you to break God's law, you don't have to do it. If your boss tells you to break God's law, you don't have to do it. And kids, if your parents tell you to break God's law, you don't have to do it. Because you are free to disobey when you're given a command to break God's law, because Christ is king and you answer to him first. You answer to Jesus Christ. And because Christ has kingship over all things, everything's been put under his feet, you can't say that there's an area of your life where your faith doesn't apply, where you don't have to honor him as king. Christ is king in the workplace. Whatever the laws of our country may be about how you can operate in your industry, you answer to a higher authority. You answer to God's law. Christ is king of the government. Whatever public opinion may be, when you vote, you answer to King Jesus for your choices. Issues of civil government don't somehow fall outside of Jesus' jurisdiction. All things are under his feet. Christ is also king of the family. Whatever our society thinks families are supposed to be like, you answer to a higher authority. Claim Christ as your king because he is king of all the earth. Now, in all this discussion about how great and how high up Jesus is, about how powerful he is, does that mean that he's distant? Does that mean that he's way up there and we can't really know him or have any connection to him? That he's untouchable? Well, no, Christ may be a great king. He may be over all of heaven and over all of earth, but the church is connected to him as his body. We have a special connection with him. That's what Paul goes on to say next. So claim Christ, thirdly, as your king because Christ is your king. Because Christ is your king. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 22, he says that the Father gave Christ to the church. Father gave him as a gift to us, as a head over all things. And that the church is Christ's body. This is a metaphor that Paul is going to say a lot more about in chapter 4. But for right now, this idea that we're his body means that we're closely connected with him. He's the head, we're the body. We have this close relationship with him. He's the head and we're the body, and he calls us the fullness of him who fills all in all. This isn't the way that we would normally talk. This isn't language we would normally use. But he calls us the fullness of Christ because the church is the result of Christ's work. It's what he came onto this earth to do. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So if we're saved sinners all together as a church, we are the fulfillment of what Christ came to do on this earth. The fullness of what he came to do. But not only are we the fulfillment of what he came to do, we are joined to him in a special mystical way. We can't quite explain it, but we are united with Christ when we are saved. If you have confessed your sin, if you have been forgiven through Jesus Christ, you're united to Christ in a special way. We're connected to him, even though he's way up there, far above all things. Paul says that everything in heaven and earth has been put under Christ. He's far above and all things have been placed under his feet. But we're his body. We don't want to press this metaphor too far, but if all things are under his feet and we are his body, then we're up there with him. We're connected to him in a special way. And that's what he'll say in chapter 2, verse 6. We're seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we can't explain this exactly. But there's a sense in which we are up there with him. We're closely connected with him. A special access to the throne. He's our king. He's working for our good. So when it comes time to take sides in any issue, when it comes time to say, yes, I follow Christ who is my king, don't just claim Christ because he's great, because he's over heaven and earth, but claim him because he's yours. Because you are connected with him in a close way. God's given Christ to the church as head over all things. And the gift is that he's working all things out for our good. And you compare this to the difference between being a citizen of the United States and being a member of the family of the President of the United States. As a citizen, you may have confidence and security in knowing that we have a strong military, that we have a good economy and other things like that. But how much more security do you have knowing that the President of the United States is your dad? That if you were ever in danger, all of his resources, everything he has, everything that this country has would be there to protect you and to defend you. That's what it means to have this close connection with the King of all things. We are his body, we are his church, his special people. And he's looking out for you. He exercises that authority to take care of you, to protect you. I think sometimes in Reformed circles, we have such an emphasis on the sovereignty of God and how great he is over all things, that he has a great plan over all of history. Sometimes we end up thinking of his providence as kind of a cold thing, a distant thing. There's this general plan out there that's governing all things for God's glory. But it's not just for God's glory. It's for the good of his people. If you are in Christ, it's for your good. It's for my good. that He's governing all things. And that is a great comfort. People in our culture today don't like the idea of submitting to authority. If you talk to them about Jesus being the Lord of your life, that may sound awful to them. They may say, it sounds like you're giving up all your freedom. It sounds like you're letting someone else run your life. But when you have a chance to interact with someone who thinks that way, remind them that your relationship with Christ isn't just ruler and subject. You have a close, personal relationship. He's looking out for you. That whole idea of authority and dominion is for your good. And that goes from being a terrifying or a disappointing thing to being a wonderful comfort. To know that the King of all things is looking out for you. He is your King. You may not ever face a choice like James Renick did. To claim Christ as your King and die, or to deny part of His kingship to save your life. But you will face many of these choices in a small way this week. And just because your life doesn't hang in the balance doesn't mean these choices aren't hard. Are you going to let some other spiritual influence have power over your life? Will you let social pressure or the earthly authorities that have been placed over you make you compromise on what Christ has told you is right? Friends, you don't have to be afraid of any power on this earth, of any authority that is opposing Jesus Christ, because Christ is King over all of them. Just like James Renick, within a little while, you will appear before Him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank You for this message of comfort this morning. Knowing that Jesus Christ is King over all things. And Lord, if we have been forgiven through Jesus Christ, if we've been adopted as Your children, we take great comfort in that. Because we know that You have given Christ as head over all things to the church as a gift. So Lord, as we go into our week this week, as we face all kinds of choices, whether to follow You, whether to claim You as King, or to go along with the world, Lord, remind us of this truth. Burn these words on our hearts that we'd remember that one day we'll stand before You as the great King, that all things will be set right. Father, we thank You for this wonderful promise. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.